Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, April 12, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, as we are recording on Tuesday night, the incredible Norm Lewis and Carolee Carmel have joined the Tooting Arts Club production of Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, off-Broadway at the Barrow Street Theater. The reviews and the word of mouth of this was fantastic when it opened. And now to have these two incredible stars joining it, I have a feeling that this is one that will be doing some really, really healthy business over the summer. They are slated to run through August, even though the show has been extended even later. They join the cast that already includes Matt Doyle, Alex Finke, and Brad Oscar. They are joined by Stacey Bono, Jamie Jackson, and John Michael Lyles, who also joined the show last night. Congratulations to everyone over there. I have loved the social media images from people who have gone and gotten their pies and everything in this kind of reimagined pie shop theater. So I'm really excited to see how this does with these two in it, and wouldn't be surprised if it ends up extending again even longer than it is already set to run.
So with these immersive theatrical experiences, will people like Carolee Carmelo in their auditions have to bake a pie?
I very well could. Hopefully not with actual human body parts, but you never know. I mean, see how committed she is to her art.
Who's the film director that's they always give him a hard time for being realistic? Is it Francis Ford Coppola, something like that?
Sure, makes sense. Yeah, I mean, you always hear the stuff about Daniel Day-Lewis being super method. So if he was ever going to play Sweeney or Mrs. Lovett, even in a gender-bent film version, I wouldn't put it past him. And of course, he is the son-in-law of Arthur Miller. So
is he?
He is.
I totally missed that.
Yeah, when he played John Proctor in the film version of The Crucible, and if memory serves off the top of my head, I think that's where he met Arthur Miller's daughter, because she is kind of one of the keepers of his estate, and he was pretty late in life at that point, and that's where they met, and they got married and have been married ever since.
Look at you bringing that back.
Hey, man. That's what I'm here for.
You are so good at this. All right. First up, In Transit announces a closing date on Broadway.
Yeah, James, I wouldn't say that this is a surprise by any means, but last night at Half Hour, Broadway's first a cappella musical, In Transit, posted a closing notice at Circle in the Square. The show will play its final performance this Sunday, April 16th, wrapping up a run of 36 preview and 145 regular performances. James, though the show will be ending its run on Broadway, as we've said before, I do expect it to have a pretty decent second life in regional and educational theaters around the country. Despite not having a band or any truly big stars, to be quite frank, I'm still a bit shocked that the dismal grosses that it had justified it staying open this long. But James, as we always say, we have no problem with producers keeping casts and crews employed as long as they see fit and as long as they're willing to spend the money, especially since this show is chock full of extremely talented Broadway veterans. But that being said, James, this brings to mind a couple of interesting questions that, to be honest with you, I was thinking about before it announced closing, because we all knew that it was coming eventually. Number one, how long until Telly Leung joins the cast of Aladdin on Broadway? We talked about this earlier today. Numero two, do you think that after such a protracted run of losing money, that In Transit closing so abruptly might mean that another show wants to get into Circle in the Square sooner rather than later? And thirdly, whether it is this summer with something soon or in the fall in the traditional opening season, what do you think will claim Circle in the Square? The most obvious contenders are the off-Broadway transfers of New York Theatre Workshop's star-studded Othello, New York Theatre Workshop's acclaimed production of the musical Hadestown, the new group Sutton Foster-led revival of Sweet Charity, or Ken Davenport's revival of Once on This Island. James, all of those shows have been rumored for that space at one point and another in the recent past. If you had to pick, what would be the Circle in the Square's next tenant? Where would you go? One of those four, maybe something else altogether, maybe the band's visit. What do you think? What is your spidey sense telling you will be playing that space in the next 2 to 4 months?
I think that Scott Rudin picked up the phone and said, Jake, keep the ambassador. We're doing 1984 in the Circle.
Really? Are you just kidding? Or you think that might be a possibility?
if it happens, then I'm serious about that. Otherwise, I was just kidding.
I kind of thought that would be, it would be more appropriate for the booth following Significant Other's announced closing, but that could be interesting too. I mean, Scott Rudin is nothing if not a people pleaser.
It really looks like Once in This Island is heading there, although Hadestown and Othello, I don't know if Hadestown is going to happen that quickly, and I don't think Othello is going to happen now. It just seems that it's gotten so cold. And Sweet Charity, I don't think the space is right for Sweet Charity. I don't know.
Did you see Othello, Hadestown, and Sweet Charity? I don't know that you saw all three of those off Broadway.
No, I saw Othello and I saw Hadestown. I didn't see Sweet Charity.
Oh, you didn't see Sweet Charity? Yeah. I'm surprised. I would have thought that that was one you would have seen, but
yeah,
right.
Just
interesting.
I just couldn't get there. We'll have to see what happens, but certainly a 6-day notice. Somebody's paying these folks for at least 2 weeks. So, strange.
Is that true? I thought Equity only required a 1 week notice. So if they announced at Tuesday at 6:30, that's a full week of performances that they were given notice. I thought they only had to give 1 week. Somebody who knows the Equity rules that's listening, let us know, because I thought it was just 1 week required.
Hey. You know what I was reading? Something very interesting is that Equity has pulled all of the rule books off of the public website.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that you can no longer get the Equity contracts on the website. And many of us, you know, would go to the Equity website and look at the rule books to kind of figure out different parts of the business or figure out – you know, a lot of agents and producers would go there and try to get the rule books so they can structure their stuff. But the rule books are all gone from the public part of the website. You have to log in as an Equity member in good standing to get to the contracts now, the rule books. So very interesting. I'd love to hear from an Equity member about what's happening there, why that was done. I mean, for years and years and years, you can get the contracts right on the public website.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. We're friends with David Levy, the social media director for Actors Equity. I wonder if we can put in an email to him and see what he thinks. But that's I didn't know that. That seems interesting. So I wonder if somebody who has access to those rules can let us know whether it is 1 week or 2 week required notice. But either way, it is abrupt. They've been running for so long at a loss, presumably, that it seems weird that they would announce such a quick closing, especially just 3 weeks away from Tony nominations. I don't expect them to get many, if any, Tony nominations. But if you've stayed afloat this long with, you know, not too hot grosses, why not stay open just in case a miracle happens?
That's true. I think that we're not seeing the whole puzzle, and that as it comes more into focus, we'll start understanding what's happened here. Okay. You're going to start off on the show in casting news. I'll be back in about 20 minutes, okay?
Yes, James, as you alluded to, we have a shite ton of show and casting news today. I've kind of organized the story with the stories by New York first and then Out of Town second. James, as always, if you want to discuss any of them, please let me know. First off, yesterday, Daryl Roth and Hal Leftig announced that rock and roller Brendan Urie would succeed Killian Donnelly on Broadway as Charlie Price in Kinky Boots. Urie is the lead singer of the multi-platinum-selling Grammy-nominated band Panic at the Disco. He's, in fact, the only remaining original member of the band. He will join the show for about 10 weeks from Friday, May 26th through August 6th. James, big Panic at the Disco fan?
So Panic at the Disco's most recent album is Death of a Bachelor, which I'm not allowed to listen to.
From your wife, or is it? Yeah. You know.
I can't comment. I have to take the fifth.
All right. Well, one of their biggest songs is I Write Sins, Not Tragedies, the Ballad of Mona Lisa, Emperor's New Clothes, Hallelujah, Victoria. So they're a kind of fun poppy band that early on in their run, I remember they got a lot of comparisons to Queen because they kind of did these big, grand, concept-y type albums. So anyway, this will be interesting. I don't know. I haven't heard anything that he has a whole lot of acting experience. And Charlie Price isn't exactly the flashiest, rock star-iest part in the world, but It should be interesting to see how they've done. The Kinky Boots has done a pretty good job of the quote unquote stunt casting with people like Wayne Brady and Todrick Hall. So this seems like if they're going to try it again with somebody outside the box, probably is going to work. So I trust them now. James, in a story that seems like we've repeated it four or five times in our 13 months on the air, yesterday the Weislers made it official that Bianca Marroquin would be returning to Broadway as Roxy Hart on May 1st. The Chicago regular will play a nine-week run through July 2nd. And James, by my count, this is not an exaggeration. You can check it on ibdb.com. I believe this will be Marroquin's 17th run in Chicago on Broadway, not counting joining two different national tours years apart from each other. As we've talked about before, whether it's Christopher Sieber or Tony Yazbek, and plenty of Roxy's and Velma's, the Weislers just like to keep bringing in some of their tried and true stars to fill in gaps between other castings. So if you are a Bianca Marroquin fan, and we were having a discussion about her in our Broadway World Slack chat room today, a couple people have seen her and said she's great. Head on over to the Ambassador and see her in that show this summer. In one of the most interesting show ideas I've heard in a while, yesterday Waterwell announced a strictly limited engagement of a new dual language version of Hamlet at the Sheen Center for Thought and Culture on Bleecker. The show will be performed in both English and Farsi, and the cast will be led by Tony nominees Arian Moad as Hamlet, Sherry Renee Scott as Gertrude, and Micah Stock as Horatio. Tom Ridgely will direct the show, which will run from May 10th through July 3rd. Now, this is the story that kind of spans both the New York and regional parts of this section, James. Yesterday, the spoof musical Spamilton announced that beginning on June 2nd, it will move from the Triad, its home for 9 months, to the 42nd Street Theater just down the road from the Richard Rogers, and the New York run is now considered officially open-ended. Also in Spamilton news, corresponding with Hamilton Tour's Los Angeles stay, Spamilton will get its West Coast premiere at the Kirk Douglas Theater from November 5th through December 31st, before that company will launch a national tour. And speaking of national tours, James, producer Eva Price announced a tour that, quite frankly, I'm a bit surprised by, but incredibly happy about, because the critically acclaimed play Small Mouth Sounds, written by Bess Wall and directed by Rachel Chavkin, will launch a national tour beginning this fall at the Long Wharf Theater in New Haven, Connecticut. In addition to New Haven, the show is currently scheduled to play extended runs up to a month at a time in some places in San Francisco, Santa Monica, Dallas, and Miami, launching August 29th and currently running through March 4th of next year. Well, this won't be a national tour in the sense of the ones that we see from Broadway Across America and other organizations like that. It's still pretty rare to see a play tour at all, especially one that is as unusual as Small Mouth Sounds is. If you remember, this is one that's done primarily with almost no speaking. But if they don't announce an Orlando or Tampa run, I will definitely be purchasing tickets to see the show in Miami because I'm very excited to see this one. Also yesterday, James, the Geffen Playhouse announced that Joshua Harmon's Significant Other, which just announced its Broadway closing date, will get a West Coast premiere as part of their 2017-2018 season, as will Martina Mayock's Ironbound, which played off-Broadway last year. And finally, in what might be the longest show and casting section in Today on Broadway history, yesterday, Seattle's Fifth Avenue Theater released the first promo images for the world premiere of the musical based on the cult favorite film Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, which will play the Emerald City from June 8th through July 2nd. The show features a book by the film's screenwriter Robin Schiff and music and lyrics by Brandon Jay and Gwendolyn Sanford. Now, James, you might remember that we previously discussed the casting of the title roles. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that at all?
Yeah, I do.
You do.
Yeah.
And what makes that super important is that it actually happened on our very first episode of Today on Broadway, all the way back on March 9th of 2016, when we told you that Stephanie Wall and TV and pop star AJ Maciulka had been cast in the roles. However, since then, Maciulka has been upgraded from a recurring to a series regular role on ABC's The Goldbergs, so she has been replaced by Broadway alum Courtney Wolfson, most recently seen as Nicola in Kinky Boots. So if you're up there in the Pacific Northwest, new musical getting to start at Fifth Avenue. Not the first time that we've seen shows from there go to Broadway. I have to admit, I've never seen the movie Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, but I know a lot of people love it, so it'll be interesting to see how this does and if that ever sets its sights on New York or not.
Seattle's called the Emerald City?
Yeah, yes, yes. Big, the Supersonics, Emerald City, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. It's no Wizard of Oz thing?
Oh, it was the result of a contest held in 1981 referencing its lush evergreen forests. Duh.
Ah. All right, so Forbes examines the bottom line for Broadway shows.
Yeah, James, this is a pretty interesting article by Forbes contributor Lee Seymour. It doesn't really break a whole lot of new ground, and it's a lot of stuff that we've discussed in the grosses and different types of sections we go in and again go into every week. But what Seymour does here is he looks at not all, but a lot of the new shows that are currently playing on Broadway, looks at what their reported capitalization is, what they're doing in terms of weekly grosses, how long it looks like they might be running. And he also talks about some of the box office records that Sarah Bareilles and Waitress are breaking. You know, it's pretty interesting. Again, not necessarily new ground, but it's cool to see all of these numbers kind of put together in a small, concise way to kind of analyze what the future is for each of these shows.
Yeah, he, as you said, it's kind of a recap of grosses with a little expansion on top of it. And one of the things to note here is that they do include the grosses from Come From Away. So you might want to check that out if you
there's 40 shows on Broadway. I'm not going to list the grosses for all 40 shows.
But then I can't give you a hard time.
I can't give you a hard time then. At least the Reds are winning.
So I'm very interested that we're starting to see so much more interest from Forbes of all places in Broadway.
Do you have any idea why that might be? Is it because maybe the New York Times is pulling back its coverage of the arts, or any ideas why Forbes? Because this is not the first time we've mentioned articles about Broadway from Forbes and Lee Seymour specifically.
Yeah, I think because we're having things like Hamilton doing $3 million a week. And you know, the Wicked's and the Disney's and the
Dear Evan Hansen's
and the large multinational organizations that have taken a new interest in Broadway.
True.
So I think that this points back to why that, plus maybe Forbes is recognizing that with so many media outlets pulling back on their coverage of Broadway, this might be an opportunity for them to make a little coin, as they say in Variety.
I love Variety's vernacular. It's fun. They don't do it as much as they used to. But
does the Variety site still have the dictionary in it, the slanguage? I don't know
that I've ever looked.
Oh, Variety used to have a section on their website called Slanguage that would explain what all these different things would mean. Like when somebody ankles, you know, it means that they've quit their job or something along those lines. Or BAFO, box office, means really big numbers and things like that. So they actually had a section on their website. I don't see it anymore. I wonder if we can get a cached version of it somewhere. But
well, they probably pulled it down just like Equity pulled down all the contracts.
It's very true. All right. So we clobbered you with an enormously large episode yesterday. Let's do a short one for today. Why don't you get us out of here?
Short 17, 18 minutes. All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino, BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending some of your Wednesday with us. And we'll be back and talk with you tomorrow.